Chapter 15, Interplanetary and Extraplanetary Relationships. The subject of the etheric body of all forms and of the etheric body of the planetary logos is necessarily of major importance in any consideration of the supreme science of contact. It is this concept of sensitive contact which I seek to emphasize as we study the three points, or the three basic concepts, outlined in the preceding section. All such terms as planes, groups, creative hierarchies, and centers are simply word modes of inferring relationship, interplay, and mutual impression between the beings or the lives who make up the sum total of our manifested universe. They are nevertheless signs of our leading up to a planetary synthesis or a planetary integrity of a nature hitherto not even visioned by man. The subject is necessarily one of immense difficulty, for all human beings think in terms of their own contacts and relationships, which are strictly limited and are not expressed in terms of the one life flowing through all forms and all kingdoms, or through all the diverse planetary evolutions, of which you know nothing, and thus creating in time and space a living, intelligent, planetary entity of systemic maturity, qualified by immense attractive and integrating energies, motivated by a supreme purpose, a purpose which is part of the vast purpose of the solar logos, working through the planetary logoi, and therefore responsible for the well-being and progressive evolution of all lives and groups of lives within the framework and the essential structure of our planet. The relation evoked is, as you can well imagine, interplanetary and extraplanetary. These terms mean little to the average disciple, and he has to wait until the initiatory process puts him in a position where he can frankly evaluate the situation. Of the latter stages we can know nothing. Only in the council chamber of Shambhala are these extraplanetary contacts and relationships recognizable. But one basic fact must be grasped, and that is that the medium of relationship and of contact is substance, and the effect of these relationships carried on through this medium is the gradual development and progressive unfoldment of the three divine aspects which all esotericists recognize and of others which the coming millennia will reveal. The contributing factor, therefore, within and upon our planet is what we might regard as the three major centers of the planetary logos. 1. The head center, the dynamic agent of the extraplanetary purpose, the expression of the divine planetary will as focused in Shambhala. This is the energy of synthesis, the source of all planetary life. It is that which integrates the human soul into the vast general whole and makes the individual an intrinsic part of the sum total. There is one aspect of the science of impression upon which I have not yet touched, and that is the place of the centers as focal points, as transmitters, or as agencies for the seven ray energies. It is known to esotericists that each of the seven centers comes under the influence or is the recipient of some ray energy, and there is a general acceptance of the fact that the head center is the agent of the first ray of will or power. The heart center is the custodian of second ray energy of love wisdom, whilst the third ray of active creative intelligence passes through and energizes the throat center. These rays of aspect do find expression through the three centers above the diaphragm, and, on the larger scale, through Shambhala, the hierarchy, and humanity. It is, however, equally true that Shambhala is primarily second ray as it is expressed, because that is the ray of the present solar system of which Shambhala is a part, and that the first ray, or its dynamic life aspect, is focused in the heart, for the heart is the center of life. The great center which we call humanity is predominantly governed by the third ray of active intelligence. This ray energy arrives at the throat center via the head and the heart centers. I am pointing this out for two reasons which must form part of your thinking as you study this science. 1. All the centers come under the influence of all the rays, and this must surely be obvious in relation to average and undeveloped human beings. Were this not so, such human beings would be unable to respond to first ray, second ray, and third ray energy, for the centers above the diaphragm are, in their case, inactive. 2. In time and space, and during the evolutionary process, it is not possible to say which center is expressing the energy of any particular ray, for there is a constant movement and activity. The center at the base of the spine is frequently the expression of first-ray energies. This is apt to be confusing. The human mind seeks to make everything precise, stable, to bracket certain relations, or to assign certain centers to certain ray energies. This cannot be done. At the end of the world cycle, when divine purpose is fulfilled and the evolutionary process has brought about the changes and adjustments needed for the full expression of the will of Sanat Kumara, then the situation will be different, and men will know, as the members of the hierarchy know, which centers express the seven ray energies. It must be remembered also that the rays of attribute shift and change constantly. For instance, humanity, as the planetary throat center, is under the constant influence of the seventh ray, as is the solar plexus center of the planet. To that sub-diaphragmatic center I give no name. Though the human throat center is primarily expressing the third ray, there is an interesting situation to be noted in this connection. Two ray energies control this center at this time. The throat center of the average integrated personality is governed by the third ray and is strongly energized by third ray energies, again seven in number, whilst the throat center of the spiritual aspirant of disciples and initiates below the third initiation is responding primarily to seventh ray influence, and this is peculiarly the case now as the seventh ray is in incarnation. The rays which are manifesting at any particular time affect powerfully all the other centers as well as the one through which they are normally expressing. This is a point oft forgotten. It is needless for me to point out that as man progresses upon the path of return, he consistently comes under the impression of the center of which he is an integral part, that is, first of all, the planetary throat center, the human family. Then, as a soul, he comes under the impression of the hierarchy, the planetary heart center, and at that point he begins to express the combined energies of the intelligence and of love. Finally, on the path of initiation, he comes under the impression of Shambhala, the planetary head center, and becomes a participant in the divine purpose and an agent of the divine plan. It is therefore literally and eternally true that the same energetic life pours through the planetary centers into and through the three periodical vehicles of the incarnated monad, and finally into and through the three centers in the human etheric body which correspond to the three major centers of the planetary logos. There is therefore nowhere to be found any basis for separation or any possible point of separation or of essential division. Any sense of separateness is due simply to ignorance and to the fact that certain energies are as yet unable to make adequate impression upon the human consciousness functioning in time and space. The essential synthesis exists, and the end is sure and inevitable. Unity is attainable because unity exists, and the sense of separateness is simply the great illusion. It was in order to hasten the dispelling of this great illusion of separateness in the minds of men, and to bring about the emergence of the basic existing unity, that the New World Prayer was given to men, and its use on a worldwide scale inaugurated. Elsewhere, in The Reappearance of the Christ, I have told you of the origin and the impulsing of the great invocation. Here I am simply placing it before you as a fitting conclusion to this portion of my labor of love in the presentation of truth, and as a possible starting point in yours. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.